Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey, hello, and thanks for joining us for more Leaving Hillsong. This is part three of Welcome Home, and happy, happy holidays to you. Whatever you celebrate or don't celebrate, I hope you've been happy and that everybody's safe where they're supposed to be. Some of you will be having Boxing Day night. It's Kwanzaa today where I am right now in Sydney, and some of you are still doing Christmas. So I thought for those of you who haven't had a family fight yet, they used to say in the old days, you can't talk about sex, politics, or religion in polite company. And today, I'm pleased to tell you that for your gift, we're going to bring you all three tonight. So these should liven up some of these dinner conversations. And I mean, did you really need to speak to those people next year anyway? Naomi will share with you what happened when she took her East Coast campus pastors to task and asked them some pretty straight questions. And I don't want to give you any spoilers, but you're going to be extremely underwhelmed. And then because, well, why not? We have a discussion of the reverberations of Carl Lentz's dismissal and how that affected people on the East Coast and around the world and what some of the factors might have been behind that. Happy holidays for now. And here's part three. Welcome home.
One of the things that we have spoken about, because I've been so amazed, is, I mean, we're recording this in November of 2021 and you're telling me about stuff that happened less than 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, the third question on this show, what's life been like since you left? I talk to people all the time that they can't even talk about this stuff for 7 years, 10, 15, 20, often more, if at all.
Yeah.
How have you processed like all of that stuff in this short amount of time?
Yeah. So after leaving, I was already going to therapy. Remember, I was going to therapy before when I had suicide ideation. I continued going afterwards because I didn't want the big negative crisis that I had to happen again. I wanted to take care of myself. Like, I was my priority. So after leaving Hillsong, or during that transition of me thinking about leaving or thinking about like everything that was happening, my therapist was hearing about it and they were supporting me through it. And I was getting guidance from a mental health professional on how to take care of myself. They never told me to leave. They never told me what to do. It was more of, I'm here for you to listen and help you gain some like healthy coping skills. So when I told them I left and why I left, and they were like, okay, now how do you live life outside of church?
Because finding a good therapist can be hard as well. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, so I found a good one and I stuck with it. He knew that church had always been a present thing in my life. So it was, how can I find something to substitute it for now? So I would go for walks. My roommate and I would do brunch on Sundays. Like, church didn't have to happen. Church didn't have to be something that we did. We would go shopping Sunday mornings. We would wake up, go get Starbucks, and then we would go grocery shopping, come back and make a meal and watch movies and just relax. So that was my Sunday and I loved it. And then the pandemic hit and I couldn't go to church anymore. No one was going to church. Everything was shutting down. I was working from home. In April, I decided to go home to Arizona to be with my family.
You ended up finishing grad school?
Yes. So I finished grad school in May of 2019.
Yay.
And I didn't end up doing my PhD. I wanted to take care of my mental health. So I decided to like defer and then reject the acceptance that I had gotten to PhD program. So I got a job out of grad school in Boston, and I stayed here and I started working from home. I started like connecting with people who had left Hillsong. I connected with a friend in New York. I had met her in Boston and she had left because her health had declined. And I reached out to her and I said, hey, I left Hillsong and like, I don't know if there's more people out there, but I'm like, I know you'll get it. I know you'll understand. And she texted me back and she's like, oh my God, I'm so happy for you. Like, how are you doing? How are things going? So I told her like the situation, everything that happened. She was horrified. And she's like, let's stay connected. I can introduce you to other people who have left that I know of. And we can just like check in on each other. And then we heard about this place or a new Instagram group that was starting called Do Better Church. And she sent me the information and she said, hey, so I heard about this group that's starting. I shared my story with them about my experience at Hillsong. If you want to share yours, here's the opportunity. All they're doing is exposing like religious abuse that people experienced and calling churches in to change. And they've created like bullet points on areas where they could change and everything. So I was like, oh, great. So I shared my experience there. And I started to realize that like my story, I never thought it was as bad as I thought until people started telling me, oh my God, that's horrible. Because I thought it was like the norm, like it was
well,
okay.
It's your normal. Hey, when it's your normal, it's kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I started hearing from other people in the group who had gone to Hillsong who were also queer, who had experienced similar things where they were being told they were supposed to identify as a child of God. And that caused their mental health to go in a downward spiral. So I was really like getting frustrated and angry. And I started learning more about church clarity and the dangers of churches like Hillsong being ambiguous in their LGBTQ policies.
This vagueness, this deliberate vague language.
Yeah.
Not just about LGBT, obviously, but you know, on a range of issues or responses.
Yeah.
This deliberate vague, because our prime minister does it as well. Mm-hmm. He won't give direct answers when he doesn't suit him.
Mm. Very strategic. Yeah. Yeah. So I started learning about that, the fact that they were being purposefully ambiguous in order to not give a full response to controversial questions. Ooh. And so I started questioning it on social media and like posting on my Instagram about it. And in July of 2020, there was a post on Do Better Church about an experience someone had in California. Someone came out to their leader and the leader was told to expose who these people were so that they could mentor them. And I was like, that's what I was being told. Some of the people who were mentored were being told to identify as a child of God. And I was like, wait, what is going on here? Like, this seems like a pattern. So that I started studying more about the types of conversion therapy, and it actually qualified as one of them, being that they're trying to tell you that your identity isn't correct and that you should change it and deliberately mentoring you to change it, which is partially what was done to me. I fought back against it, but there was people who didn't. And there's people who are in New York at Hillsong Church who identify as children of God and not as like queer. I realized that what I had experienced was a form of conversion, an attempt of form of conversion therapy. And I got angry. And so I started speaking up more. And so I ended up posting one day and I tagged Carl Lentz and Josh Kimes. And I said, when it comes to clarity and church clarity, Carl likes to say that we talk about what we're for, not what we're against. Which if you're not going to talk about homosexuality or LGBTQ people, then that means you're against it. So I had a conversation with Josh Kimes after I left in like February. And I had told him, I'm like, hey, I was someone who helped you out and like helped plant your church for 2 years. And I was a leader and I was leading Spanish Connect groups. I helped start the Spanish translation team. I brought in more Latino people. I helped the events team. I was a service lead. And I leave and I don't get any contact from you. Like,
Nothing. What the contacted you? Who? No, he after you left, I guess what you
did. No one contacted me. People didn't even know I had left. Some did, the people I would hang out with, but like higher up leaders never messaged me at all. I left quietly because I also didn't want to be like this, a person making disruption. But when I started getting more like frustrated and started realizing the situation, I was like, I have to say something. This isn't okay. So he responds to that message by saying, I am not going to answer this message. I'm not going to respond to your questions. But what I will tell you is that we loved you. And we asked people to give the church the same grace they want to receive back.
Ooh-wah.
So he said, good luck finding a church that you agree with 100%. And that was like the end of it. And I responded to it and said, like, that's not what a pastor does, but like, whatever, peace out, bye. That's what I had said in February. Fast forward July 2020, I tag him in this post where I had tagged Carl and I said, Josh Kimes, a campus pastor of Boston, didn't give me an answer. All he said was that they loved me and to give the church the same grace I expected in return. And that was it. And so I post that. Like 5 seconds later, Josh Kimes responds to me and says, you're lying. How could you say that? It was like really mean things. I responded at first with good day. I didn't want to respond at all. And then I kind of stood there and was like, no, you did tell me that. Why are you gaslighting me? So I went back and scrolled up and read the messages. And then I went back down and I responded to him and I said, No, you did tell me that. If you scroll up, you can see it. You told me that you loved me and that to give the church the same grace in return. All I am trying to do is tell people the straightforward answer that you don't want to tell people. That Hillsong Church is a non-affirming church. That LGBTQ people are not fully welcome.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Welcomed and affirmed here. And he responded with, like, again, the typical, like, well, good luck trying to find a church that you agree with. It was just like things that were not acceptable in any way that a pastor should never tell someone. And he started telling me, like, using my social media to talk about like things like this and exposing a church because I disagreed with one thing was wrong. And I told him, nope, like, it's not because I'm angry. It's because I'm warning people about the things that you don't want to say at all. And I was like, and thank you for helping me start deconstructing my faith. Because I started asking more questions because I started pastoring myself instead of you pastoring me.
It's just incredible how they can say something and then you quote them on it and you still got it wrong. I mean, how did you feel when November hit of 2020 and suddenly Carl Lentz is no more?
I got really mad at first because it was frustrating to see that someone who had told me that my sexual identity wasn't fully welcomed, that if I quote unquote acted upon it was a sin, to then go off and be having an affair? Like, seriously?
There wasn't just the one affair either, right?
There were most likely more. But it was just the frustration of like how that happened. And at the same time, I had questions around the fact that if he was even fired for that situation, just you've seen so many pastors in the evangelical church who've cheated on their wives and had affairs. None of them were fired. they were just like sent off to be somewhere else for some time until this whole PR thing went down, and then they were brought back. The fact that he was fired during a time when the U.S. was going through a lot of racial tensions and through an election that was very contested with Joe Biden and Donald Trump, knowing clearly that Brian Houston supported one candidate over the other because he went to go visit him in the White House, and Carl Lentz was on the other side of things, that was kind of obvious that was going to happen.
Lentz was clearly pro-BLM.
Yeah.
And Brian, you know, didn't just stop by the White House. He was going to get there if it was the last thing he did on earth. To be near Trump. So it wasn't as kind of sudden as they'd sold their house 5 days before he got fired.
Yeah, they knew.
Yeah.
It was all planned. Nothing happens. Like, everything within Hillsong is very strategic. It wasn't just going to happen like that. And the biggest moneymaker for Hillsong to be fired, like, not a good business move for Brian. No, so it's like, okay.
It must have been pretty extreme to kill the golden goose. What did Brian say? Yeah. That was honesty or something, and morality and...
Yeah, moral failures.
That's early old moral failures.
Yeah. So that's all that was sent. And it was sent during the election. So it took a long time to get the results of the elections. Everyone was so tense. The news, everyone would have their TV on all day, every day, counting like what state was going, which way. And for it to come out during that week when it was so tense, like for Brian to announce it, like that was the worst thing you could do to a congregation. Everyone in the East Coast was like hit hard. They didn't tell anybody within the pastoral team what was going to happen. And they were receiving phone calls from people within Hillsong East Coast who were crying, not knowing what to do and like who their pastor was. The country was going downhill. Like, what is happening? And the pastoral team didn't know how to respond to any of the situation because they weren't briefed on any of it. And there was people who quit the team and they were having like a hard time with their mental health because it was getting so intense.
You know, that's kind of a deliberate kind of bombshell as well to...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that happened in November. During that time, this is going to bring in media. So I was contacted by reporters to share my story. And I decided to share my story with a reporter from Business Insider and to put my name out there publicly, because I was at the point where I was like, someone needs to speak up. I was taught to like speak up for those who couldn't or didn't want to share their name. And if I was given this platform, like, I'm going to use it to like say this isn't a safe space for queer people. I started getting a lot of responses from people from like Germany, Australia, people in Hillsong College saying, I'm queer and I'm really scared to come out. Like, it was amazing to see the support and the responses, but it was also sad to see the situations that some people were in. There was a few things that happened on Twitter where like Brian responded negatively to the article saying that like the media told us to say it. And I responded back saying, nobody told me, no one's gossiping. Like, I experienced it. And as soon as he saw that, that was like quoted in some articles, the tweet that he did and I responded to, and he immediately deleted it like a few minutes after the article was public.
Someone has to tell me about screenshots eventually.
It kind of just went off, and I've been trying to speak up ever since on my social media platform, creating different posts and talking about it. I didn't realize that Hillsong Church wasn't a welcoming place or an affirming place for LGBTQ people until the end, until it was getting more difficult. And I thought I could help change it, but that wasn't my like the reality. And so now what I do is try to speak up and expose it.
I still don't get how you get to be so resilient. You're so resilient. People are carrying it around for 20 years and still going, oh, I feel bad talking about it. So I wonder how we bottle what you have and or just implement strategies for people that.
2020 was still a difficult year. I ended up going to the hospital again, the psychiatric hospital again in 2020. After the article came out, there was just a lot happening. And I was getting also a lot of trolls, so people who create fake accounts messaging me. And I knew they were from Hillsong because you could tell, because they were saying, on the inside, people are saying this about you. And I was getting a lot of those. And it was starting to get scary. And my mental health was going down again. And so I admitted myself before it got worse, just to get a break from everything.
Self-care, right? So that's, yeah. While you were talking about it before, and I was thinking, they know this stuff, they know this stuff there. And I wonder if they're happy to let people die off by the wayside, if that's what it takes to keep going, because they've known for a long time how this impacts people.
I hope that's not the reality. It could have been if I stayed. I could have been one of those people. And I realized that, and I didn't want to be one of those.
So I'm so glad you're not. What kind of advice do you give to people who aren't as outspoken? I mean, you're introverted, but you're standing up and speaking.
As an advocate myself, because that's what I do somewhat for a living as well, and as a volunteer for the state of Massachusetts here in the U.S., we tend to be, as humans, we tend to be really good at advocating for other people, but we're really, really bad at advocating for ourselves. So the moment you realize that you are also as important as the people you're advocating for, and your life is also as valuable as the people you're advocating for, that's the moment when it will start to shift. And that's how I realized it. Because I was advocating for all these people who needed healthcare, who needed support, who didn't have like documentation. And so now me being in a church where I was being shot down and I was being told to put myself in this box and my mental health was at its worst, I started realizing that my humanity valued as well. And I remembered the characteristics of that Jesus I had learned at InterVarsity, the Jesus who is an advocate, the Jesus who invited everyone to the table, regardless of who they were, regardless of their identity, regardless of all of it. And so that was when I realized that, and I remembered that Jesus, I wanted to exemplify that as a Christ follower, and how I can then do that for myself and call out a place that's not doing any of those characteristics, that's being anti that Christ that I had learned of.
So where's your faith at the moment?
Yeah, great question. It's very different from where it was before. I would call myself a progressive Christian. I believe more in Jesus as an advocate, Jesus as someone who invites everyone to the table, as one who was a reformer of Judaism. Jesus wasn't Christian. He was a Jew. And as someone who wants to follow this rabbi and wants to exemplify those acts of good deeds, that's what I do. The spirituality side of it, I'm not sure how I feel about that anymore. There's a lot of that theology that I don't agree with. We can get into end times conversation. That's fundamentalist baptism, speaking in tongues. That's like a whole nother conversation we can have. And personally, I'm more, I want to be an advocate the way Jesus was, like liberation theology, heaven on earth. And how can I advocate for people who are living, have a living hell here and bring heaven here? So that's kind of my faith now.
Thank you so much. This is the advocacy. This is all of it. I'm so grateful for your time.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you again times a billion to Noemi for being so open. And before I edited this, I mean, this interview went for a couple of hours. And before I edited, I said to Noemi, are you okay with this and that? And she said, I'm fine with everything I've shared. So she's just opened up so much. And I'm so grateful for that, because I know that it's going to have a huge impact on a lot of people. And I'm glad you guys have got to know her. We're hoping to do some stuff together in the future. So keep a listen out for that. I know you're going to love it. So after a little bit of controversy, thanks so much, everybody, for joining in the chat. If you want to come and share your story, please do. Please get in touch, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and let your story have a huge impact like this too. Please keep supporting us, liking us, following, sharing with people you think might find it useful. And until we talk next time, my name's Tanya. Have a great week and keep leaving Hillsong.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.